Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
We're having a great Monday. It is October 26th, the last full week of October, and it feels like late fall. I shouldn't say late fall. It's maybe kind of getting toward the end of it, maybe, or middle, whatever. But it's chilly out there. It was really nice on Friday. It was like 74 degrees. And then Friday night just dropped like a rock. And so now we're back to normal. Could get some rain today, around 50 degrees, and should clear up toward the middle of the week. But now we have this problem down south, it's a tropical storm, but they're saying it could develop into a hurricane, Hurricane Zeta. So that's affecting weather across parts of the country, and we'll keep you posted on that. We have a great show lined up for you today. Looking forward to talking with our friend, Father Charlie Fox, who is from Sacred Heart Major Seminary here in the Archdiocese of Detroit, and has a journalism background and writes frequently for a number of publications, including the Catholic World Report. And we're going to concentrate, he has two recent articles, but his most recent is about loving God first and completely, and ties in with the gospel for this weekend. And he takes a look at what the world says love is versus what the church says love is. So looking forward to talking with Father Charlie Fox. Raymond Arroyo is back on with us. We had him on, was it 2 weeks ago for his new book, or was it last week? I can't remember. It's all running together. The Spider Who Saved Christmas is off the charts, literally selling like hotcakes, as we say. But Raymond is going to be talking to us about what he's seeing on the ground in the campaign, because he's been covering the presidential race and also spending time with Vice President Mike Pence and following the other candidates as well. And we're going to get his sense as the news director of EWTN, what he's seeing and what his thoughts are, and also really just helping people understand that what they're getting from the secular media is simply not reality. And it just kills me to see, even last night, I saw clips of it, I didn't watch the whole thing, but Joe Biden is trying to claim that this is a Russia smear campaign, the situation with his son's laptop and the emails and the texts and whatnot. Now, this thing is still being looked at, but to sit there and say that it is from Russia, that Russia is once again trying to interfere with this situation with his son, that's a completely false statement. Why? Because last week, the head of national intelligence, along with the FBI, and by the way, the director of the FBI is no friend of the GOP or President Trump, have said that is not the case. That's not the case. This is not another Russia hoax, despite what Biden and Adam Schiff and other people on the left are saying. They are trying, and even our own governor. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. It's all a smear campaign. Look, we're not so sure as to what's going on yet with this, but it's certainly information that needs to be looked at. Do you mean to tell me that this wouldn't be covered if it were one of President Trump's children, it was their computer? Come on. And this is what is so frustrating. So now you've got the vice presidential or the presidential candidate saying this. You've got governors, Democratic governors who hate the president saying this. We have to open our eyes and we have to look at the reality. And when we are loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that means we have to open up our brains and use reason. And when you have federal officials that are not in the corner of the president truly, if truth be known, would love to get rid of these folks, but he doesn't because he's like, okay, we'll keep him in there. They're saying this is not part of a Russia smear campaign. But the media are just aiding and abetting those who want to keep this going. Now, as we have said before many times on this show and this network, it is not our job to tell you for whom to vote. It is our job to help you use your Catholic faith to make decisions, because that's what we do. We help people apply their faith. And you are not applying your faith if you are limiting your knowledge of this election to the secular media. You are being grossly misinformed day after day after day. And too many people out there are already drinking the Kool-Aid. And Raymond and I are going to talk about that as well. Then we'll wrap up with some good media for you. My friend Oscar Delgado, he's the associate producer of a beautiful movie about Maximian Kolbe, Two Crowns, twocrownsmovie.com. And there's also a trailer, and that he also is involved in a number of other different productions as well. Oscar is a partner in OCE Films, currently the associate producer of the new film, Two Crowns. He's worked in the media industry for 35 years, graduate of Marquette University, and began his career with NBC News, working his way up from Mexico City bureau chief to Latin American bureau chief and senior war producer correspondent for the network. He covered the Bosnian War, El Salvador Civil War, and Gulf War. And it'd be great to get his take as well on media bias, because like me, and same thing with Raymond, the three of us spent a lot of time in the secular media prior to doing what we're doing now. And then we'll wrap up with Gail Buckley. Her scripture verse of the week is Romans 12:20. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Now, we don't go around and do something good for someone because we say, ooh, it's going to really bug them. That's not the meaning of this verse. The meaning is that the Holy Spirit is working on that person's heart, because it really is, well, gosh, why are they doing this? Why are these people, you know, so caring and so nice? That's what this verse means, and Gail will explain that when we get to her segment at 9:49. So again, a very, very busy morning. We have Father Charlie Fox, Raymond Arroyo, Oscar Delgado, and then wrapping up with Gail Buckley on a Monday morning, October 26, 2022. I want to look at some of the news that you're not getting when it comes to the candidates. We'll go over that, a few things you need to know. And also, I saw this online. I was on the Society of Professional Journalists website the other day for my Fact Check Friday segments. And I said, you know, I'm going to order the updated media ethics book from SPJ, Society of Professional Journalists. Maybe I shouldn't have ordered it because it's so frustrating. This is a 2020 edition, and you might as well toss the whole thing in the garbage when it comes to the media, because the vast majority of them, well, this is probably collecting dust on their desks if they have it. The violations, repeated violations of basic ethical codes of journalism, off the charts. And I'm reading this, and I'm thinking of all these different stories and the problems with the media, and it's mind-blowing. That's the understatement of the century. All right, it is a busy morning, cloudy out there right now. Could get some rain, cooler this week in October, and we're watching that tropical storm down south that's hitting parts of the Caribbean and is supposed to move into Florida, the Panhandle, and even up toward the East Coast. We have the latest news on that as well. Busy news, Morgan, as you can imagine, so let's get to it right away and see what's happening in and around the world on this Monday, October 26th. Well, the Senate is moving forward with the nomination of Judge Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court. Majority Leader Mitch McConnell saying Democrats, though, are doing what they've done for a long time.
Their political side has been shopping the same horror stories for a half a century about every Supreme Court nominee by a Republican president, without exception.
McConnell blasting Democrats for assuming what federal Judge Amy Coney Barrett will decide if she becomes a justice.
They say they aren't interested in whether Judge Barrett will smartly and faithfully apply our laws and our Constitution. They aren't interested in that. Instead, they want to make apocalyptic predictions.
Senate Democrats throwing numerous procedural roadblocks in the way of Judge Barrett's nomination, but Senate Republicans turn back every single one of them, ranging from motions to adjourn or delay to the need for a cloture vote to end the filibuster. They're concluding debate, and they take a final vote today. Senators advancing her nomination Sunday with a 51-48 vote. This came despite Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski and Maine Senator Susan Collins joining Democrats. A final confirmation vote for Barrett, again, expected to happen today. A family of seven, including four children, another story that you won't hear in the secular media, only parts of what happened in New York yesterday. A family of seven, including four children, pepper sprayed by violent rioters on Sunday while taking part in a Jews for Trump rally in New York City. A spokesperson for the New York Police Department saying 11 people were taken into custody after the rally descended into chaos and violence yesterday afternoon. Six people charged with disorderly conduct, obstruction of justice, of government administration, and harassment, while a seventh person was charged with assaulting a police officer and resisting arrest. In one video, pedestrians can be seen appearing to throw rocks at vehicles displaying a Trump flag. David Folk reports that seven people also arrested after protesters also hurled eggs at a pro-Trump caravan in Manhattan, which was led by former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani.
Video posted on Twitter shows the flag-draped caravan coming under attack Sunday afternoon on 5th Avenue and 59th Street, and again later in Times Square. The former mayor is seen in the passenger seat of an SUV as eggs are thrown at his vehicle and others in the caravan. Police officers tried to keep the protesters from getting close to the vehicles, but some in the crowd were seen ripping American flags off pro-Trump vehicles, then shredding the flags and stomping on them. The New York Post reports that in addition to the 7 arrests, 2 officers were injured.
On the eve of the second anniversary of the deadliest anti-Semitic attack in the country's history, a new survey showing that Americans don't really understand the concept of anti-Semitism. Holly Huffnagel with the AGC says 8 in 10 American Jews say that anti-Semitism has increased over the past 5 years, but only 4 in 10 members of the general public report being aware of the increase.
And the last 5 years have included the murders in Pittsburgh, in Poway, in Jersey City, in Monsey, and the continued attacks against Jews in Brooklyn. But the majority of the general public is not aware of this increase.
Huffnagel says of information revealing the need for education for all. She also stresses it's not just a Jewish problem, it's a problem that endangers society as a whole. President Trump says he's very concerned about the upcoming election.
My biggest fear, my biggest risk for this election is the millions of unsolicited ballots they're sending out.
He made those comments during a rally with supporters in New Hampshire, criticizing the push by the Democrats to use mail-in ballots. Trump voting in person yesterday in Florida, saying he likes to cast his ballot at the polling place. Folks are speaking out against the restrictions on church gatherings around the country. This attendee saying she misses her church family. Protest was taking place yesterday afternoon in Washington.
The church that I normally attend is not meeting right now. So a lot of churches are shut down.
This attendee saying things need to get back to normal.
Right now, this right here is where we need. We need to celebrate. We need to bring people back together, and we need to open up one another and have our arms open.
Thousands of people gathering on the National Mall to voice their opinions against limitations on church services during the coronavirus situation. It was called the Let Us Worship Rally, and people traveling across the country from as far as Delaware and elsewhere to attend the event. Washington, D.C. Archbishop Wilton Gregory, one of 13 new cardinals named by the Pope, he'll become the first African-American elevated to the rank of cardinal. Gregory and the others will be formally elevated in a ceremony next month. Also receiving the red hat is Italian Capuchin Father Nero Candelamessa, who has served as a preacher to the papal household since 1980. He's 86 and will not be eligible to vote in a future papal conclave. President Trump changing his religious affiliation. In a written interview with Religious News Service on Friday, Trump saying, "Though I was confirmed at a Presbyterian church as a child, I now consider myself to be a non-denominational Christian." The president has repeatedly identified as a Presbyterian in the past. Former Vice President and Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden still identifies as a Roman Catholic, even though he openly disagrees with core teachings on abortion, marriage, and contraception. In recent months on the campaign trail, promising to codify Roe v. Wade and to make religious organizations, including the Little Sisters of the Poor, offer contraception and abortion coverage in their insurance as it relates to the Health and Human Services mandate. Stacey, a Chicago man remains behind bars without bond for the shooting death of a pregnant woman and her child. Police say Corey Deering was threatening Stacey Jones for months.
The victim had conveyed to some of her friends that the father told her she would never make it through the pregnancy.
Okay. This story is so important to get out there. Over 60% of women who undergo abortions say they're pressured or coerced in some way. The 39-year-old man is charged with the murder of the victim and their child. He allegedly gunned down Jones on October 13th on the city's south side. Police say the defendant was dropped off at the crime scene by another woman who authorities say is also pregnant with Deering's child. Wow. So a couple of things with this. This reveals coercion, serious coercion here, of course. In this case, he went so far as to kill the mother and the baby. So situations like this with domestic abuse and pressure for abortion happen more frequently than we would like to admit. Media rarely cover it. This is so sensational. This is why they covered this one, I'm sure. But where is the connecting of the dots? This is another issue with the media. Okay, if this happened with this man, wouldn't it be an interesting or a worthwhile story to ask police, okay, how often do you see this kind of thing? Just a follow-up question. Do you see, you know, other men doing the same thing, pressuring women to have an abortion to the point of domestic violence, in this case, heaven forbid, murder for both the mother and the baby? And then the bigger issue. On the one hand, he's charged with murder of both the woman, the mother, and the child. And yet, every day in this country, 2,000 babies are killed in abortion. You see the disconnect here? Now, I'm not saying that women who have abortions should be charged. Don't get me wrong. What I'm saying is, it seems to only be a baby when the woman wants the baby. If she doesn't want the baby, it's not a child. You can't have it both ways. All right, moving right along. As we mentioned earlier, Tropical Storm Zeta posing a potential threat to Florida. The storm swirling in the Caribbean Sea and heading on a path toward the northern Gulf Coast by the middle of this week.
The farther east that storm goes, the more likely places like Panama City could have impacts.
NBC Miami meteorologist Steve McLaughlin there. Zeta ties the record for the most named storms in a season with 27 back in 2005. Zeta did not form until late December. Nikki McGahey reports that actress Felicity Huffman is done with her punishment for involvement with the college admission scandal.
The Desperate Housewives star completed her 2 weeks in prison, 250 hours of community service, and a year of supervised release. Huffman pleaded guilty to charges, saying she paid an SAT proctor thousands of dollars to change her daughter's answers in order to get a better score. Meanwhile, actress Lori Loughlin and husband fashion designer Massimo Giannulli have yet to serve jail time for their involvement in the same scandal. Authorities have ordered the couple to report to jail by November 19th.
And the Washington State Department of Agriculture is saying crews have destroyed a nest of so-called murder hornets. The department saying crews destroyed the nest on Saturday after finding it last week on private property in Blaine near the Canadian border. The nest was the first of its kind to be found in the U.S. so far. The 2-inch Asian giant hornets are invasive, not native to the U.S., and have been dubbed murder hornets because their sting can sometimes be fatal to humans. 8:17, hope you're having a beautiful Monday morning. It is October 26th. Good to be with you. When we come back, what you don't know when it comes to this election can hurt not only you, but a whole heck of a lot of other people. We'll be right back.
Be a blessing to your neighbors in need through your gift to Catholic Charities of Southeast Michigan. Together we can change the faces of despair, loneliness, hunger, and addiction, one blessing at a time. As the charitable arm for the Corporal Works of Mercy throughout the Archdiocese of Detroit, Catholic Charities exists to provide the services that make a difference in the lives of over 20,000 people each and every year in Southeast Michigan. So how would you like to bless your neighbor today? Visit ccsem.org/donate to choose your involvement.
This week on Christ is the Answer, Father John Ricardo continues his series expounding on the theology of the body. We will never be able to go back to Eden and the way things were before the fall. Yet in the power of Jesus' death and resurrection, we have the grace and strength to live a new life now. Father John talks about what is possible with the grace of God, as well as how to reflect on our own resurrection. Tune in for Christ is the Answer, Monday through Fridays at 11 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
What is criticism exactly? If you pay close attention, do you notice what most criticism is? Oh, it's not because you're doing something wrong or hurtful, something that needs corrected. Most criticism is, you're not doing it the way I would do it. Or you're not doing it the way I want you to do it. That's what most criticism is. And you have to get good at sorting that out. Otherwise, you're going to get real upset when anyone says anything about what you are doing. Now, of course, you could turn this on yourself. Do you do that? Is most of your criticism a message to someone else that says, you're not doing it the way I would do it? Well, save your criticism for things that are really wrong.
I ain't no black country, I ain't no black to with the green.
Good way to get the blood pumping on a Monday morning. The amazing voice of the beautiful Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin. Nothing like her music. She's awesome. Great song. Think. You better think what you're trying to do to me. Not a lot of thinking going on in many circles, even among our own brothers and sisters in the church, whether they be beautiful evangelical brothers and sisters or Catholic sisters. Lots of folks basing things on emotion and feelings and little bits of information that have been pounded repeatedly over and over and over again. And this is what we're going to be spending a lot of time on this week. Today we have Raymond Arroyo, who has been in the news business almost as long as I have. He's a few years younger than me. But he's served as a news director for EWTN. He worked for the Associated Press and really got the whole news operation at EWTN off the ground. And you know he also is a consultant and a reporter for Fox News and has covered the campaigns over the years for Fox. And he had a lot to do with the debates last week and came in with some focus groups and had some really excellent reporting. And he does all the time, but in particular the last 10 days or so. So Raymond's going to be on with us in the National Hour. We're also going to be talking with a longtime friend of mine, Oscar Delgado, who has an extensive background in the media, and similar to the path that Ray and I took, Oscar also left to use his gifts to be involved in Catholic media to get the truth out there, especially to help Catholics understand their faith. So it should be an interesting National Hour as well as a local hour as we chat with a wonderful priest from the Archdiocese of Detroit and Sacred Heart Major Seminary, Father Charlie Fox, who writes frequently for a number of solid Catholic publications, include Catholic World Report and the National Catholic Register. So this whole idea of thinking and processing and opening up your mind was very prevalent in our readings this weekend, right? The gospel, we have to love our Lord with all our heart, mind, and strength. What does that mean? Well, it means that we have to apply ourselves and be open to truth, even if that truth, and I would say, and especially if that truth makes us uncomfortable. The problem is that we're not getting the truth. And many people, even though they think they're not all that affected by the culture and the media, have formed some very, very wrong opinions that go directly against the teaching of the church because of what they're hearing from the secular press. Now, as I said at the top of the hour, and by the way, we're going to be revisiting this again with our Faith versus Feeling segment with Ray Guarendi, Dr. Ray Guarendi, who had an excellent show last Thursday, trying to get people to stop and think about what they were saying and to step back and look at the big picture, look at the common good, and just apply common sense. So we'll talk about that with him tomorrow on Faith and Feelings. We're going to be doing almost a whole hour on it. And then on Friday, more on Fact Check Friday, and more on the media bias and what you're not seeing and how the media are manipulating and still lying repeatedly in order to openly protect the candidate that they like or the ticket that they like. In this case, both. It is amazing to me how many people can't take a breath and step back and look at the big picture and think, why am I always hearing, and not to say that we don't have issues, that there aren't issues with both candidates, and not to sit there and paint our current president as a saint. That's not what I'm doing. But when you have a media that study after study shows a vast majority, and I'm just not talking 50, 60%, brothers and sisters. Another report came out most recently, late summer, the end of August, showing that the broadcast coverage of President Trump is 95% negative. That is not possible. If you are claiming to be a secular outlet that is objective, that you're still, quote-unquote, a news outlet, versus, say, a conservative outlet that wants to put conservative stories out there and is highlighting certain things about the conservative beliefs, that's different than saying you're a secular outlet and claiming that you're objective and claiming that you're doing your job. 95% negative news coverage. All right, let's take a look at this. And this came out, you can just, you know, it's on Media Research Center. You can go to the Gateway Pundit. Just do study show broadcast networks giving President Trump 95% negative coverage. It'll pop up. Just Google it. So Richard Noyes, who's a research director for Media Research Center, says, I've been studying the news media and elections for more than 35 years. Trust me, he said, there's never been anything like it. The study shows, and this is the second, I think, in the last couple of months that has the same numbers or very close to it. The main networks, ABC, CBS, and NBC, airing 9 times as much coverage of Trump than Joe Biden, with 95% being negative. From June 1st to July 31st, ABC, CBS, and NBC Evening News focusing 512 minutes of airtime on the president, or 9 times more than the 58 minutes allotted to Biden. This excludes coverage of the Trump administration in general and not associated with the president himself. This is an even wider gap than the spring, when Trump received 7 times more coverage than Biden. If you consider the evening newscast a reliable gauge of the liberal media at large, it means Biden has enjoyed an army, and I don't think this is an understatement here, an army of so-called journalists. It is an understatement, actually. Excuse me. So-called journalists conducting a massive negative information campaign against his opponent, while he is sheltered from any scrutiny. Controversies from the spring, such as allegations from former staffer Tara Reid that he sexually assaulted her in the 90s, completely disappeared from his evening news coverage in June and July. Biden's various policy proposals, which by his own admission would take his administration farther to the left than the extremely liberal Obama administration, received a meager 5 minutes and 20 seconds of airtime, not 1 second of which included any critical analysis from any journalist. And listen to this. No presidential candidate, not even Barack Obama back in 2008, has ever been on the receiving end of such a wide array of media favors. Now, back in May of 2017, Harvard released a study analyzing the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, the Washington Post, and the main newscasts on CBS, CNN, Fox, and NBC during Trump's first 100 days. 80% was negative, just 20% positive. So it's gone up from 80%, which is horrendous if you claim to be a secular outfit that has balance and objectivity. That's ridiculous. Right? Just 20% positive. This is back in 2017. It's jumped some 15%. This is damaging not only to, let's say, a presidential campaign, but it's damaging to the public, because you need accurate information in order to make your decision, and you are not getting it. You are getting nothing but negativity. And it amazes me that people don't stop and think, and this is what Ray brought up last week. Well, do you think that Biden is a saint? And do you think that he doesn't have some issues, especially with his personality and the way he's treated women? And Tara Reid is just one story. Now, this is a formal complaint and an investigation that's open. There are at least 8 other women who have expressed concern about the way he's treated them. They haven't filed formal complaints, but they felt very uncomfortable around him. There's been reports of inappropriate touching. And not to mention the bigger picture in terms of the policies. How can you be left of even Barack Obama? And this is what the media are not reporting. How much attention, for example, was given to the town hall with George Stephanopoulos, who, by the way, used to work for the Clinton administration, sitting there in that very comfortable chair, making Joe Biden feel very comfortable, when he answered the question from the concerned mother about her daughter, who said at 8 years old that she was transgender, that she wanted to be a boy. He immediately said, we're going to make laws so these children never have to feel pressured to do, you know, what they don't want to do. At 8 years old? 8 years old, you're going to not allow reality to come into play and sit down and talk to your children, maybe get them some counseling and see what's going on, but automatically rush to put into law protections? And what does that mean? What's the fallout of that when it comes to church teaching? Then we're going to be persecuted because of what our church teaches about the dignity of the human person made in the image and likeness of God. We respect and we love all, but we also have to speak the truth and give them information about the natural law, because that's what benefits all of us. It's a hate crime, brothers and sisters, across the river in Canada, and I know this because I've spoken there many times. I haven't, you know, silenced myself or anything or censored myself. But I can remember telling Dominic one time when I was going to speak, saying, well, you better have some bail money ready and an attorney that we can work with in Canada, because I might be getting in trouble. And that was years ago. This information is not getting out there. And then people are allowing their emotions to be played by the media. And if I hear one more time this thing about putting kids in cages, I'm going to hit the roof. Let's do a quick fact check. Michelle Obama went after President Donald Trump for ripping migrant children from their parents and throwing them into cages. This was during August, during the Democratic convention, picking up on a frequent and distorted point made widely by Democrats. A look at her remark in the keynote address at the opening night of the remote Democratic National Convention. They watch in horror, she said, as children are torn from their families and thrown into cages. The facts. The references to cages is misleading and a matter that Democrats have persistently distorted. And by the way, this is one time when I'll give credit to the media, because this is the Associated Press doing a fact check on the former First Lady. Trump actually used facilities that were built during the Obama administration, just like he said in the debate last week. Who built the cages, Joe? Who built the cages? Who built them? They did. And the picture that is frequently put out there by the press was taken in 2014, but they're not cages. They are enclosures inside border facilities where migrants are temporarily housed, separated by sex and age. And so what do the media do? They show this picture, they talk about cages, they play on your emotion. Tomorrow when Vanessa's on with me, we're going to sit there and talk about media manipulation and how consultants come in and tell you how to play certain stories and how to place them in order to hit on the emotion of people. This is a science that we've seen over and over again, and it's being played out to the nth degree with the secular press against a particular party and candidate because he is more conservative and pro-life and pro-family. Again, we are not telling you what about... This doesn't even scratch the surface. I'm going to get into this a bit more with Ray Grandy tomorrow. But you don't have 95% coverage and think that you're not getting played and one person isn't protected by the media. And if you do think you're being informed, that I don't know what to tell you, except that I've got some oceanfront property in Arizona, as George Strait used to sing to sell you. The media are working on us, as evidenced by the emails and the phone calls, including the live phone calls that Ray got last week. Nobody is saying that both candidates are Mr. Wonderfuls or Mr. Congeniality Award winners. But why is it you never see any of the lies that are told by Biden, or where he stands, for example, abortion through 9 months of pregnancy, supporting infanticide, supporting so-called same-sex marriage. He even officiated at a same-sex wedding of two men. Okay? On and on and on, and these things are not covered because the media know that most people are in the middle. Most people, for example, are pro-life, and even if they say they support legalized abortion, they want limits, a lot of them. But that's not the story that the media tell us. You can't be that bad of a person to receive 95% negative coverage. And if the media try to tell you that, they're lying through their teeth, just like they're lying about everything else. And again, a reminder of this latest investigation with Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's son. They're still trying, the left and even the president, the vice president, former vice president, trying to say that this is a Russia hoax. How'd that work for him the first time? Both the FBI director and the head of national intelligence have said repeatedly last week, this is not a Russia smear campaign. They've had, as a matter of fact, Christopher Wray, the head of the FBI, kept it hidden from the president. He's had the computer for a year. If this was no big deal, throw it out. And yet, this is something that is still being sold to us by the secular media. And people are believing it. I'm posting some things on my Facebook page. And they're saying, oh no, this is all invented. No. The computer is real. The emails and the texts are real. The National Intelligence Head has said that it is not a Russia smear campaign. And yet our governor and other leading Democrats are putting that lie out there. Now, I am telling you this not to tell you for whom to vote again, but I am telling you as a trained journalist with almost 40 years under my belt, 20 years working in the rough and tumble business of Detroit media and national media, we are being sold a bill of goods. And if we don't think with the mind of the church and we listen to the nonsense that's out there, we're not only harming ourselves, but we're impacting negatively the common good. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Talking about love, as in loving God, first and completely, a beautiful column written by our friend Father Charlie Fox from the Archdiocese of Detroit and Sacred Heart Major Seminary. Such a good article, Father. Really well documented in terms of the way the world sees love and how we're supposed to look at it. And it ties beautifully into the gospel for this weekend. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Teresa. Great to be with you. I come on your show whenever I need a self-esteem boost because you tell me how good my articles are.
Well, they are. Come, you know, from one journalist to another. I think they're well written, and the points are great. So your article is Loving God First and Completely. In No Love is the Cost Clearer and, quite frankly, Higher than our exchange of love with God. And this is the thing I think that sometimes is hard for people to accept, this concept of loving God with everything we have.
That's right. And there's always in us the temptation to say, I will give God this much. And then implicitly we're saying, but I want to hold this much back. We tend to negotiate with God. It's something we all do. I do it myself if I'm not careful. It's just part of what humanity's condition is after the fall. And so we have to look to Christ and to rely on his grace in order to live the love that he showed us. With all due respect to Whitney Houston, the greatest love of all is not learning to love yourself.
Right.
It is learning to love God and your neighbor. And we do that by looking to Christ.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that song by Whitney Houston, The Greatest Love of All. It reminds me of what happened, and I think I was saying this during my Two Cents segment just a few minutes ago, earlier in the year when actress Michelle Williams was up there talking about how she was so grateful to God that she had the right to choose to kill her own children. I'm paraphrasing, but basically she said as much. Then she went on to say to women, vote yourself interests. And I'm like, oh, that's really a good message. It's all about me. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be concerned about our family and education and finances. I get that. But this whole idea of me, 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 me is just the opposite of what we're talking about here.
Absolutely. And I should, you know, defend Whitney Houston a little bit. God rest her. I like her music quite a bit. And she undoubtedly meant that there is an authentic self-love, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. So now that I've defended her, I would say with reference to the celebrity who thanked God for her right to abortion, that it's a gross distortion of the most basic truth about rights, that they come from God. So she affirms that, but she's totally wrong about what God has revealed to us concerning human life and what are violations of the dignity and sanctity of human life, abortion being among the most heinous.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be very, very careful about understanding love properly, and we do that by looking to God himself, made flesh, Jesus Christ, who says there's no greater love than to lay down your life for your friends. And so the worst distortion of love is to cause someone else to lose their life for our benefit.
I'm reading, I just want to quote your article here, just a few lines which are really very powerful and I think illustrate the points you're trying to make. This article is about love and not just about any kind of love, for not all loves are the same, but about love for God. A person can say he loves an ice cream cone, the game of football, his dog, his Aunt Daisy, and his wife, but he does not love them all in the same way, let alone to the same degree. And so it is that our love for God is different in both quality and degree from any other love. How do we get that across to people, that when you love God, it means you give everything, you get so much in return? That's not why we do it, but I know for years myself, what many people are still doing now, and when they write me and say, I could see it because I know where I was, they're compartmentalizing. They're saying, okay, as you said, I will love God this much, just don't ask me to do that. I like this teaching, I want the grace of the sacraments, but I still want to say that abortion is not that big of a deal. I've heard that, Father, I can't tell you how many times in the last couple of weeks.
Absolutely. And part of it's about having the humility to, again, look to God for the standard of what love is, rather than to my own notion. And this is something we're seeing everywhere these days, is that people are making themselves the standard of truth. And everything is true insofar as I can see that it's true, and it's false if somehow I can't see the truth of it. And that's very unfortunate. We're not going to know the truth without looking to God. He has revealed himself to us. He's revealed himself completely in his son, Jesus Christ, whom St. Paul calls the image of the invisible God. Christ himself has taught us so much about love, and that's how we're going to know what true love is. Now, I do love ice cream cones, and I love football, and I don't have an Aunt Daisy, but we talk about love in lots of different ways, and those are genuine experiences of love broadly understood. But again, there's no greater love than to lay down your life for your friends. And this was a radically new teaching when Jesus presented that to his disciples, but it's one we're all called to live out.
Amen. We're talking with Father Charles Fox, Assistant Professor of Theology at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in the Archdiocese of Detroit. He's also chaplain and board member of St. Paul Evangelization Institute, headquartered in suburban Detroit in Warren, Michigan. And he writes frequently for Catholic World Report and other Catholic publications. So the article we're discussing this morning, we will post on our Catholic Connection Archive, Loving God First and Completely, and getting an understanding of what that means, especially when we are really looking at these issues during the election. I mean, putting God first and putting the church teaching first and making sure loving God enough is to make sure that your conscience is well formed, that you're following the direction of the church in the way we form that conscience before we make a major decision, such as we're about to do next week.
Absolutely, Teresa. It is essential that we look to God for our standard of justice and of love, and that we not try to negotiate. Our dependence on God is absolute, and it is total, and we're called to give everything away. But God has done this for us first. You know, he doesn't call us to go where he has not gone. The letter to the Hebrews calls Christ the pioneer of our faith. And he's also the pioneer of our love. He hasn't just told us what the greatest love is. He has shown us. He gives himself entirely, first and foremost. Then he calls us to do the same in return. Sometimes we think we're doing God favors. And again, I fall into this kind of thinking myself. But in fact, God has given us everything, and that's the context from which he calls us to give everything back to him in return, because that's really what love is. And anyone who's been involved in, anyone who's been married or had family relationships or any kind of stable relationship of love knows that love involves sacrifice. It's not just about attraction and self-satisfaction.
Yeah, yeah. And there's so much about, well, love is everything, you know, or that ridiculous statement, you're too young to remember this, when the movie Love Story came out, love means never having to say you're sorry. No, it means having to say you're sorry. It means having to humble yourself and say it repeatedly. That's the whole thing about being in this self-sacrificing relationship of marriage, right?
It is. And again, the attitude of humility.
Right.
That I'm not the center of the universe. And so my relationships are not designed to satisfy me. I'm not the standard of truth. I have to look outside myself. I mean, in some ways, the whole project of human life is about getting out of yourself, getting over yourself, living something greater, a mission greater than yourself, worshiping a God you recognize as greater than yourself, and loving others with all that you've got without holding anything back. First God himself, and then our neighbor as ourselves. But that means giving everything away. You know, St. John Paul II, as you know, said that the, quote, law of the gift, unquote, is written into every human heart. It's part of human nature.
Right.
And
right.
That means we make a sincere gift of ourselves, and we receive the gift of our beloved in return. But that exchange of gifts is what makes love beautiful. It's not that I get something. It's that I give something and then receive something in return.
And it's presented so differently and so incorrectly in, you know, in the world's terms. And I know because I've been there, and I thought that I had my perfect plan and that I just wanted God to put a stamp of approval on it. This was even after I came back to the church, where I thought I had it all figured out and what I was going to do, and then God was gradually showing me a different plan for my life, and I struggled with it. So I get the fear, but at the same time, I had to stop and think, okay, this is the same God who literally rescued me from the pit of hell and saved my marriage. So why am I not trusting him in everything? Why am I not letting go and seeing what he has in store for me? And we still have that, we're all human, and we have that fallen nature where we think that we know better than God. It's so we don't do it, as you said, Father, to get something back, but when we do give ourselves completely. I love the line, I forget which document it's in, but John Paul II saying we don't find ourselves until we lose ourselves in Christ.
That's right. He also says, and this is following the Vatican II document, Gaudium et Spes, that Jesus Christ is the answer to which every human life is the question.
Yep.
And that is most fundamentally a truth about love, that each of our lives is a kind of question about what the nature of love is. And we find the answer to that question in Christ. Him loving us, but then also our becoming more and more and more like Christ so that we can love others. And he empowers us to do it in the what's called in church talk the Sacramentum Caritatis, which is Latin for the sacrament of love, the Holy Eucharist. And so every time we celebrate and receive the Holy Eucharist, we're offering the sacrifice of love, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to his Father, and we're also receiving Jesus Christ so that we become more like him. We're filled with his love, and we can share that love with other people.
Amen. Beautiful article, Father. Thank you so much. Loving God First and Completely by our friend, Father Charles Fox. He's from the Archdiocese of Detroit, more specifically with Sacred Heart Major Seminary. And he's also a chaplain for the St. Paul Evangelization Institute. And we'll be right back on Catholic Connection. Thanks, Father.
You can't imagine life without your faith. And Henry Ford Village wouldn't have it any other way. Residents can tune in to live televised services from our very own chapel every Sunday and online devotionals every day, making sure you stay connected, energized, and feeling good through faith the whole week through. Connection. That's what it means to be part of a faith-based community, always bringing each other closer to one another and closer to God. Let us show you what it's like. Schedule your virtual walkthrough at henryfordvillage.com today.
There was no single event. It was more gradual. You know, eventually you just don't go one Sunday, and then you don't go two Sundays in a row. Then went through a divorce and ended up being a single parent. If I didn't have church or God, I would be back at that lonely stage, that trouble stage. Whenever you get anxious and worry about things, you just know that Jesus has it under control.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for any reason, visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
Missed the name of the guest on today's Catholic Connection or his or her book? Log on to AveMariaRadio.net. Click Archive in the upper right corner. Select and search Catholic Connection and explore from there. You can hear past episodes, delve into bios, read related articles, purchase books, and find links to websites, all by clicking on the show notes from each hour. Browse AveMariaRadio.net and bookmark it today. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
Raymond Arroyo from EWTN, best-selling New York Times author, joins us on the campaign, what he thinks in terms of media. And then Oscar Delgado, former NBC producer and reporter, now doing great things in the Catholic media, producer of a beautiful film, Two Crowns. All of that plus you and Gail Buckley with our Scripture Verse of the Week on a Monday. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.